runs through my veins, can help a soccer player stay kicking, can help a mother stay with her child, can help a car accident victim stay alive, or it could just stay in my veins. Donating blood can lead to a world of possibilities. One donation may save up to 3 lives. Give blood.
Good morning, Skrull Nation. Today is Friday, February 1st, and this is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. You're listening to Skrull Radio, hurried but well-considered thoughts about peer writing, tutoring, and the writing process, brought to you by the University Center for Writing-Based Learning, a.k.a. the Equable. I'm your host, Katie A., joined by my two co-hosts, Gia Z and Marina B., as well as our special guest today, Lauren R., and today we're talking about how to use collaboration in the drafting process. Well, wow. I'll start by asking my co-host how they're doing. Gia, how the polar vortex treat you?
Oh, it was great. I kind of love being like cozied up, just, you know, hanging out. So it's been nice. I got some stuff done. Did a lot of baking.
You did. You made a banana bread.
Yeah, I made a banana
bread.
Which
was, I thought, ambitious, but you said it was pretty low maintenance.
Yeah, and I kept the house warm, so that was cool.
That's good.
Love that. Double
duty. Yeah, right?
Marina, how was your polar vortex experience?
My polar vortex experience was, it was fine. I, as you know, my computer kind of broke, but that was cool because it meant that I couldn't do any homework, so I really just kicked it. Also baked brownies 2 days in a row.
Oh wow.
That's good.
Wow. Yum.
Like, when else do you get to do that in the middle of a week?
Lauren, what about you? Any baking?
No baking. I like can't stay inside for a really long time. Like, big Capricorn energy. So it's just like after 2 days, I was like, I need to get out of here. Like, take me somewhere else. So
absolutely. Did you venture out into the polar vortex?
I did. I went and met some friends for coffee yesterday.
How did that feel on your skin?
Okay, so it's really interesting because, you know, when you're little and you're in science class and they're like, water can be both a solid, a liquid, and a gas.
Yeah.
So like, I wear glasses. So the water was like escaping as my breath, and then it was freezing on my glasses, and then it was dripping off as water as I got on a bus. So it was like nice to see the scientific process happen.
Oh, I love that.
I will say that me and my friends did the typical polar vortex, like boil the water and throw it outside.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool because it also does the same thing. It's like some of it always just like drops as water, and then some of it comes off immediately as steam, but then it's also like snow.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we did that off of our porch. Once I did it without boiling it, mistake. And then there was just like a slick sheet of ice on my porch. But it was fine.
That's
we had another
experience.
We had another exit, so it was okay.
Yeah, this one's super dangerous. Yeah. Well, I'll start by asking some questions to Lauren about why you're here today. So what exactly is your role on writing groups?
So I am the writing group's graduate assistant, or the writing group's GA. And so basically what I do is I coordinate all the writing groups for the semester, or for the quarter, I'm sorry, for the quarter.
We don't do that here.
For the quarter. And I like do all the marketing, and then I train all the facilitators for the writing groups. And then I kind of just do anything that needs help with writing groups. Right now we're working on some new writing groups for the spring. We want to do an EAL writing group and maybe a law school writing group, but those are all kind of in their beginning stages right now. So
I have a follow-up question for that, which is, can you explain to our listeners what exactly the writing groups are?
Yeah, so writing groups are like a reoccurring meeting where writers can meet. So sometimes they're like weekly, sometimes they're monthly. And it's basically just a place where writers can go and share their works with like people they know and trust, and then get feedback from those people. And so typically what you want to happen with a writing group is you want to have like the same group of people come every single week. And so they really like learn the writer's style of writing and how they are like working on their projects. So it's also a way to keep writers accountable.
I love that.
So it's great. It's lots of fun.
I have a limited experience with writing groups. Actually, before I worked at the Writing Center officially, I was an edgetern.
Ooh.
Which is a little known fact, I guess. And you have to do a project when you're an edgetern, and with Kristen V, a former host on the show, she was really interested in creating like a science focused writing group. Mm-hmm. And it was really amazing to see, because if you're like in the College of Health, like you maybe don't like writing as much, and mm-hmm. you're maybe really foreign to you, and you have to do your lab reports. So all these kids like were struggling and were able to like use each other to help build up their writing. And it was really mm-hmm. nice to see, because we facilitated that writing group when we were freshmen.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I've seen like the successes of it, and I think it's a really cool thing that not a lot of people know about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so like great. It's something that makes like big projects seem really manageable. Like we work with education doctoral students, and they're writing dissertations, which can be like 100 pages. And so if you go and see the same people every single week, you're more accountable, and you can break your project down a lot better.
Yeah, that's great. So. I remember when we had our winter retreat as Writing Center tutors, I think you had a round robin table having to do with writing groups, mm-hmm. but I remember it was focused on brainstorming and drafting, which is kind of what we want to talk about today. So how does working with other people in these writing groups kind of shape a person's drafting and writing process in the beginning?
I mean, it can do a lot of different things. So I don't even know where to begin. So sometimes writers will come and they'll have like, right now we're working with education students, and they're doing like qualitative research projects, and they haven't done qualitative research projects before. So they're unsure of like where to start researching, or even where to like start drafting. So meeting with a writing group can help you kind of like bounce ideas off of other people. And help you kind of decide where you want to go with your own process, because a lot of them have research questions and things that they already want to talk about. They're just not sure where to go from there. So with our creative writing group, you know, they do a little bit of brainstorming, and that's sometimes just sitting there and writing for a couple minutes, like word dumping, or it's doing like short little brainstorming processes. My favorite's like the Exquisite Corpse, where you like write one sentence and you pass it to a person who's next to you and they write a sentence and you like create a story kind of Mad Lib style.
We did that at the retreat.
Yeah.
That was your exercise, and it was super fun. It was super equitable core value collaboration.
Yeah. So brainstorming, I mean, it can take so many different forms in a writing group, but it all starts with like just sharing your ideas with other people.
Right. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I mean, like Katie just mentioned, that is kind of our theme for this this show today is collaboration. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like that's why it's so important for us to have you on and talk to you today, is just to explore how much collaboration can help the writing process and the drafting process, mm-hmm. because everybody who's listening to this show right now has at some point had to draft something. And we all know, obviously, as writers and as tutors, how difficult it can be to sort of jumpstart in that process. And so like having someone there to work with you on it and working mm-hmm. with someone and not just kind of for someone when you're drafting is super important.
I think a lot of people consider the drafting process a really like solitary thing. Mm-hmm. Like you just have to like sit down and do it yourself and like be isolated and do it. But I've often found that like my best work has come from just having like different people work on it and different people like talk to me about it. And so I think that writing groups is definitely a great tool for any English majors or writers or anyone who writes to just get a little feedback, get a little help, you know?
I think thinking about the drafting process as solitary, like you were talking about, can be really detrimental and like lead you into writer's block a lot, which was something I know you talked about also mm-hmm. at your round robin, was writer's block and like how real of a struggle that is, and how getting around other people and kind of forcing yourself to write with them can be like a great remedy for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was like a fun tip.
Yeah, definitely. Like writer's block is something like I even struggle with, you know, like sitting down and looking at a blank sheet of paper and be like, I have to write an introduction for this and I don't even know where to start.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you go and meet with other people, they're like, oh, okay, well, maybe I wrote this, you know, for my introduction, or I had this and this idea, or, you know, I was looking at, you know, all of these sources. It's kind of a good way to, like I said, bounce ideas off of other people and see what works for other people and see if it might work for you. So that's really great about writing groups. And a lot of times in our like in our college specific or in our major specific writing groups, the students are in this or the writers are in the same classes. So then they're really able to like get in depth because they're like, OK, we all have the same assignment. What are you doing? What are you doing? You know, what is your research? What has worked for you? What hasn't? You know, what questions do you have? So it's a good way to start the brainstorming process and also get past any like issues that you might have.
Right. Yeah. That's another thing that we love to do at the Aqua Bowl is to build rapport. And there's nothing that builds rapport, I think, easier or more quickly than having the same assignment as somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I've had a lot of tutoring sessions where someone's come in with an assignment that I've worked on before, either with that same teacher or with a different teacher. But it's, I feel like that's one of the best ways to just jump in and be like, okay, like we are working together on this. We're collaborating on this draft because I know exactly what your assignment is. I know exactly how it feels to start writing this. And I know what my own experience was in completing this assignment.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I think when you're all like on the same playing field too, it's really easy to respect one another's work because you're kind of all having the same experience with another equitable core value respect. I just feel like it's really easy to like know what everyone's going through in a writing group, which can help you and make you feel more confident, which is a lot of times I feel like when I'm working with writing with writers in the Equitable, a huge problem they need to overcome is just like they're not confident about their work and they're not feeling like maybe totally confident in sharing it and like getting more ideas on it. So I feel like writing groups are really helpful for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Wow.
So I know we're talking about collaboration, but I also feel like reflection is another value to talk about because since you are coming week after week, it forces you to look at your writing in a way that you might not have otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. So like we have a creative writing group. It's called Writers Guild. It's every Thursday.
Jen Finstrom is a part of this,
oh,
right?
Yes. Jen Finstrom comes all the time. Love Jen.
Jen Finstrom, friend of the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is our weekly shout out to Jen.
Yeah, so Jen comes a lot, and so it's just really great because that's actually a big alumni group too. So when you go and you graduate like college, you kind of lose like that feedback support that you might be getting in like a workshop classroom. Sure. And to come back every week and still get feedback from other creative writers, from other published writers, and to, you know, get different perspectives on your work and where maybe like, you know, things might not work or where you're like struggling with wording or you're struggling with plot lines, to like consistently get the same kind of feedback every week from somebody can really help you with your writing. So
a lot of times too, I'll have writers come into the writing center and be like, I've been working on this for so long, like I can't look at it, it'll make me sick, like I don't even know, like these words mean nothing anymore, they're just words.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's also a real problem.
And, yeah, exactly.
People coming at this with different experiences and perspectives is like a lot of times very needed, depending on the project, obviously, but mm-hmm. with creative pieces, I feel like very much so.
Yeah, and like the big thing with writing groups is you get to know the people that you're in the writing group with. So like if you bring something like, and you have like known these people for years, they will tell you if it's like trash. Like they'll be like, yeah, this is terrible. Like this is nothing like your style. You like took a risk and it didn't work out for you, but like keep going, you know?
Yeah, there's like a great deal of trust built mm-hmm. within that.
Yeah.
Which is interesting for like a school group. I love that.
Yeah, I actually came to Writers Guild before I started working at the Aqua Bowl, and I've been back like a couple times since. But something that I really like about it is also that because it's not just a one-on-one with a tutor, you have so many different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been in writers group sessions where somebody has shared a piece and someone else has given them feedback that was like, you know, I thought that you could have done something different here. It didn't really sound right, you know. Like maybe I would work on revising this part. And then another person has jumped in and said, actually, that was my favorite part of the whole piece. Mm-hmm. And this is why. And so it's cool because you just get a lot of different kinds of feedback. I think that's also probably something that's really valuable about the writing groups as opposed to just peer tutors, whereas peer tutors is more of like a crunch time on one piece of work and sort of like a one person being really involved with you for like a period of time with one piece. Writers groups are like lots of different opinions and lots of different ideas for where you can go. So I love that idea.
Right. And there are like lots of different levels of experience. Like I was talking about Writers Guild, you know, we have people who are working for literary magazines and who are like publishing their own works. And then you have people in like our EdD writing group who like have had several degrees and now they're going back to teaching, or like people who really understand like what's going on in like the administration. So you get so much different expertise from all the other writers and you're able to kind of determine what you want to like change your work based on their feedback. So it's great.
This
writing groups are fantastic.
Reminds me of core belief number 5, which is all writers, no matter how accomplished, which I think is a key word there, can improve their writing by sharing work in progress and revising based on constructive criticism, which I think speaks to the mix of people and how much that comes into play, which I think tied in really nicely with something that Uckable clearly values. I need to go to writer's guild. So wait, I have a question.
Yes.
So you're working on your writing and your editing, but are you also like sharing work? Is it also kind of like a, you know, this little bit of a poetry reading, like art type deal?
Yeah, definitely. So like, I know Writers Guild is like getting pretty, like we have a lot of attendees every week. So they usually give like a certain amount, like a certain chunk of time to each like writer. And so then it's kind of like a little mini poetry reading, but it's more like a mini poetry reading where you're also getting feedback from your audience. You know, like normally if you go to a poetry reading, it's like you just get snaps at the end. this is like actual feedback that you can then take and ask to your work. But like in writing groups, we do all sorts of different stuff. You know, we do writing actually in the writing group, and it's not just a feedback process. You know, getting hands-on help from facilitators to while you're actually writing is really great too.
It sounds great because it's like the fun social energy of a poetry reading with like the actual productive results of like a editing session.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I love Writers Guild. I like totally am plugging Writers Guild. It's great. Like you can read anything there also, which is what's really cool. Like I've gone and I've read poetry that I was not planning on doing anything with other than just having between the pages of my journal. So I was like, hey guys, like here's something I did. And I've read essays and like application letters, like just really any piece of writing you can bring, and they will carve out a chunk of time for you and just like let you share it and get some feedback. It's awesome.
Amazing.
This reminds me of something one of our coworkers, Zoe K, always says. They're like, I get sad when my writing is just like in my journal and no one's hearing it. And like, it doesn't have to like be published or be anything like grand, but like, I want someone to hear it. Like I wrote it there for a reason.
Zoe K, former show host.
Yeah.
Mentioned a lot of former show hosts.
Former show hosts. Kate H was like our main big host last year and she loved Writers Guild. She was always there.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love that part of the Uckable is also like fostering creative writing as well. Like I think that people get nervous about sharing creative writing in like academic spaces.
Yeah.
And maybe less so in DePaul because I know we have like a large creative writing program or whatever. But you know, there's like a whole thing for it here. But I feel like any academic space that is just like, yeah, just like come read whatever is so helpful, because like where else are you gonna send that? You know, I guess you can like shout it into the void on social media,
right? Exactly.
What's and that so gonna do?
That's why we have like a lot of alumni come to it, because they like lose that workshop space when they graduate, and then they come back and they're like, I have missed like getting feedback from peers and like people who are doing writing and like actually, you know, like working on stuff right now. And so that's why we see the biggest amount of alumni come back to Writers Guild, because it's so helpful.
Also, I love that. This may be an incorrect take, but when you were speaking about creative work, I feel like creative writing is the hardest to take feedback on, because you have more ownership of it. It's more personal. So it's really important to be in like a space where you feel really safe and comfortable and supported.
Yeah.
Because that can hurt your feelings. All right. Well, before we start talking more about writing groups, I think we might have to take our first break. Well, we're talking about collaboration today, so we wanted to do some quintessential collaborative hits. So I think our first one's going to be Telephone by Lady Gaga. Under Pressure by Queen and David Bowie. Because, you know, we got to collaborate.
Yeah. Enjoy.
So slashed and torn.
So we're back. Hello, Skrull Nation. So continuing talking about writing groups, I want to talk about one of my favorite beliefs. Anyone who writes anything is a writer.
Ooh.
We're all a fan of that one, right?
Yeah.
I love that one.
Inclusive.
So, Lauren, just to make sure, anyone can come to writing groups, right? This is a very
inclusive space. Anyone, yes. And anyone can start a writing group. If you want to start a writing group, you just need to go to our Equable website, which is depaul.edu/writing, I'm pretty sure. But anyways, you can ask to have a facilitator come and facilitate a writing group for you, which is great. But right now we're running two content-specific or two like college-specific. So we have the SNL graduate group, which is for students in the School of New Learning. We have the EdD writing group, and then Writers Guild is open to anyone, but we're hoping to add more writing groups for the spring.
Yeah. Lovely. We should put that link in our blog post, so watch out for it, readers and listeners. You're both, but if you want to start a writing group,
look for our link. That's amazing.
That is good. Yeah. I also think writing groups can be good in terms of like learning and like hearing other thoughts your peers have to say, especially depending on the subject. Mm-hmm. I feel like there was mention of like class specific writing groups. Mm-hmm. So like talking about people who are like reading the same text as you and kind of writing about the same things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's good because a lot of times I think writing can be like so genre specific.
Yeah.
And like in the fall we ran a WRD 103 writing group for like students who are taking WRD 103, obviously from the name, and they were able to like share like projects that they were working on in class together and talk about them with facilitators too, because like the big thing about writing groups is we have facilitators like on hand to help like guide conversation and help give feedback as well from like a peer writing tutor standpoint.
That's great. I feel like that would really help, especially with like genre specific things when people aren't used to hearing, you know, certain types of writing. How do you like think you combat that, or not combat that, but I guess like assimilate to so many different types of writing when you're in writing groups?
Well, I think like when Aaron Herman and I, we go through and select our facilitators, we really try to look for people who like kind of understand the content. So right now, Judy T, she's working on her master's in education. And so she's one of our facilitators for our EdD writing group. So she kind of already understands the content, but it's stuff that she's maybe not working on.
Yeah.
So it might be a little bit of a learning curve, but I think the big thing is like you're still giving feedback and you're still doing things that you would normally do in any peer writing tutor appointment. You know, we see stuff all the time that we're not familiar with, but we still are able to give feedback. And so I think like genre doesn't really matter at the end of the day. I think it's just there for feedback and to like help your writers out.
Wow.
Also, I think our tutors are like really comfortable like asking questions. And that's like a equitable core practice, is like always feeling like you have the ability and freedom to like make everything super clear and just communication. Yeah, transparency, that's a good one. I have a bit of a question about how you set the agenda for writing groups, because that's like my number one thing I probably struggle with as a tutor, is like staying on track. And I feel like if there's a bunch of people in writing groups, like I'm gonna get chatty, I'm gonna get off track, it might get too social. I don't know like when this thing is over, it's not as strict as an appointment. So what are the challenges of setting an agenda, and what is the agenda most of the time?
Well, so for like typically for your first writing group appointment, you kind of want to set up like goals for the group, and then like personal goals for yourself. So after you do like brief introductions, you kind of go into like, okay, what are your goals with this group? What are your goals for this quarter? And what do you want out of this group? So setting up like guidelines and having goals is a great way to start your agenda, and then kind of moving like from there. So right now in some of our writing groups, we have presentations that are being presented to the students from peer tutors, and some of our writing groups are actually meeting online too as well, so we're doing like that whole new aspect. But I think agenda setting, you kind of like, it's hard in a writing group, but you can do it. It just kind of depends on what your writers need.
Does it vary from writer to writer too as well?
Yeah, definitely.
So it might be a decision you have to think about coming into a writing group yourself.
Right, exactly. And it varies week to week then as well, because you know, you might not be bringing the same stuff, you might be looking for one thing one week and then something else another week, and trying to like vary your agenda based on that.
That's interesting. I'm seeing a lot of kind of correlations between writing groups and writing fellows, because you are assigned as a writing fellow. You want to talk about writing fellows, your experience? I know your first time.
Yeah, I was actually going to clarify, that was one of my questions that I had, which is I think that there are like clearly some differences, but what would you say are like the most salient differences between writing groups and writing fellows? Because writing fellows also work overtime with like the same people. I think that probably one of the main differences would be that y'all work on different pieces of writing, whereas writing fellows are kind of working just overtime with the same people on the same pieces of writing, but it's definitely also like rapport and collaboration, long-term focused.
Yeah, and definitely, so that's like one of the big differences between writing fellows and writing groups. And then another big difference is that writing fellows is often like you do one appointment face-to-face and it's just you and that other writer, and then you do one appointment online and it's just you and that other writer. Writing groups brings in other people who aren't necessarily like peer tutors. They're just other outside writers who can help you as well on your work. And so it kind of brings in that like group mentality into an appointment, where as writing fellows is more one-to-one, which is also great. But sometimes, you know, like I feel like sometimes when I give feedback or when I get feedback from one person, I'm always like, well, I don't agree. Let me see what someone else says. And so that's what you kind of get from writing groups.
Right. And can anybody join a writing group? And like where and when do you usually meet when you have a writing group? And like, how do people find out about them?
Yeah, so we do a lot of marketing for the writing groups. I make tons of posters and hang them all over campus. Mm-hmm. And then also we post on our social media all the time about it. For our content specific, we also send out emails to like your listservs when we're going to have the appointments. But anyone can join a writing group, honestly. And if you want to start an appointment or a writing group, you just have to, you know, email the Equable and tell us about it. And then, you know, you'll just get a content, or you'll get a peer tutor as a facilitator. You'll usually have two facilitators per writing group. And then we'll kind of just go from there. So, but anyone can start a writing group. I actually want to start a writing group because I'm writing my thesis for my master's degree right now. And it has to be 75 pages and I don't even know where to start. So
what's your thesis on?
Okay. So, so my thesis is on the effects of multimedia on fan fiction.
We were just talking about fan fiction.
We were. So I'm doing like a comprehensive case study on the effects of multimedia on fan fiction and how it can help readers and writers of fan fiction develop close reading skills to utilize in their educational settings.
I love that.
And I love that. I have resources for you if you haven't already read them, because I do a lot with that in digital communication.
Yes, send them my way. I love new things to read.
Wow. Scrawl promoting collaboration.
That's incredible. That's our core beliefs in work right there.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to go back to one aspect of the writing groups that I think is really interesting. I wondered if you could give me some insight. So I know that you can come in at any kind of point in the writing process, but I know that, like, how do you work on like brainstorming as a group, or has that happened a lot? Like, is it good to come in if you like want to write something but you're like having a hard time?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Starting. Is like the great thing about writing groups is like you make the writing group work for you, you know, so you can come in with a fully complete document and that's great. But if you just need help like brainstorming ideas, you know, facilitators can have you guys have people do things like write down, you know, at least one idea for this person based off their research, or maybe spend some time researching actually in your writing group, or do things, you know, that would help you kind of brainstorm ideas. Like writing groups help bring in, you can bring in outside people to speak at writing groups, you can bring in outside reading, and all of those things can lead to the brainstorming process.
Wow, just another form of collaboration.
Yes.
When I was talking about how I related this to writing fellows, it's because I just got done with my first round for my class this quarter, and it was brainstorming appointments, which I think when we were talking about the differences between writing groups and writing fellows, this would have really only worked with fellows, because it was like the papers on like their take on a film. So if they had all been talking together, I feel like each other's opinions and like the examples they were going to talk about for the film would have like shaped one another's interpretations and perceptions. So that's why I think whether you choose to go to writing groups or not for like your assignment could really depend on like what the assignment is and if that's going to be beneficial for you.
Yeah,
that's why I have so many options for feedback at the Equable. What also reminded me of writing groups was the fact that, so we have this brainstorming appointment, and then we're going to immediately written feedback that paper. So the thought of it being like kind of sequential and like we're going to give you next steps. So that's like another Equipple core practice is plan next steps. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, okay, when I was done with these brainstorming appointments, I was like, okay, you better come in with like a draft that goes along with the outline you just created. So I was kind of wondering if at the end of writing groups, you guys have those similar like, come back next time with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So that's a part of like the goal setting process that I was talking about a little bit earlier, where, you know, you can have at the end of the like writing group, because writing groups are typically an hour and 30 minutes. You can have, you know, 10 or 15 minutes at the end of the writing group to set goals for yourself for the next time or set goals for yourself for the whole quarter and then come back. Because the great thing about writing groups is like you're held accountable because you're going to meet with these people again next week. And so then it puts that like little like mean person in your head that's like, you need to do this right now because you can't go back without it. And so yeah, you definitely can set like next steps or goal setting at the end of a writing group's appointment.
Cool practice. Great. Set next steps.
Wow. Have you ever worked with someone where they've kind of just like created an entire piece throughout like writing groups, like brainstorm to like
I know back
the next week or whatever.
Or yeah, like an incredible transformation in somebody's writing or like brainstorming style,
something drastic.
We're looking for drama here.
I like definitely I know that happens a lot in Writers Guild. Like Savvy L, who's one of the facilitators for Writers Guild,
just, she like always has a book coming out.
She just love self-published that. A book. And I know that she was like definitely taking her writing every week to Writers Guild to kind of get feedback from the people there. And I mean, she wrote a novel with a writing group. So like that's crazy.
Yeah, that is wild. Well, you kind of helped write a novel.
Wow.
You might need to write a novel for your thesis.
You have to write 75 pages, which is like novella length.
A tiny novel.
Yeah. I mean, and it's going to get published too. So.
Oh, there you go. Ooh. It's just like a novel.
It's just like a novel.
Just think about it that way. Wow.
This is such a collaborative episode, and it is really just making me reflect on the power of collaboration. And I think there's a lot that can be said when we talk about like your dissertation and like more research-based stuff, of like the power of just being in a room with other people and talk about stuff, because then they're going to provide you resources like Marina just did. And that's another Equipple core practice, is providing resources that build on or augment your own expertise. People are oftentimes so willing to talk about something they've read, especially if they're like a writing center type person.
Yeah.
And they're going to be so eager to share that. So I think talking about your work can be so effective.
Yeah.
And I think more people should be more confident in doing that. Perhaps.
I think that honestly, writing groups and writing fellows should almost be mandatory, like throughout all of the years of your life in your educational process, that you learn how to write. And like, not even like to the point where it's not even that you are going to writing group or meeting with a writing fellow, but I think that writing should just be taught more collaboratively overall.
Yeah.
A little radical in action there.
But. That's not radical.
Yeah. I mean, given how we are like brought up in the school system, it is kind of radical, because I never had anything like writing fellows, and I've also never been in a writing fellows class at DePaul, which I would have loved to have been in.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were. I know that's how you were brought into the Equipple, which is such a beautiful story.
I did some high school. I did some high school like writing fellows. But
it's very developed.
I know. It was a little weird. It was like a little more authoritarian. Like not authoritarian, but you know, like, oh, like we are tutors and we know what we're doing. But I was also like
more directive.
But I was 17 and I was also like, I don't know what I'm doing.
I would have abused that as a 17-year-old. I would have abused that power so much.
Yeah. That's great. I love that.
No, it's not good.
Yeah, I was in a writing fellows class in college. That's the story you're referencing.
Yeah, that's what I
There's layers, I guess. I was in a writing fellows class in college my freshman year. It was a PR class. It was really great. I think it was with Professor Joel Stewart, who was amazing. And we had a writing fellows group, and Kate H., former Scrawl host, was in the writing fellows group, and she was my writing fellow, and we met, and she went over my paper, and it was like kind of the first time I let someone in college do that, because I also think that early in college it was very like private for me to write mm-hmm. and stuff. And she was like, oh, let's talk about this. And it was really helpful. And she was like, you should apply. And then I did. And then Kate shaped my entire college career.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
Didn't she like influence a lot of your decisions?
Yeah, she told me to apply to the honors program. And then I did. And I've been in the honors program for 3 years. And then she also encouraged me to pick up all my minors and
join Scrawl.
Like Kate's reason I was on Scrawl, and it's carried on for a beautiful another year. And
come to the Uncle Bowl, if not for anything, for the friendship.
For the friendship that'll change your entire college existence. Wow, shout out Kate.
Yeah, but I do think
you make these friends at writing groups.
I do think
yes, you can
essentially.
I do think it's beautiful that you were friends with your writing fellow, and I do really agree with Marina that we need to be sharing our writing more mm-hmm. and benefiting from the collaborative process.
Yeah. Seriously, nothing is more important than collaboration.
Yeah.
Which brings me to one of my favorite collaborations of all time, Telephone.
Yes, Telephone by Lady Gaga and Beyonce. Let's hear it.
Hello, hello, baby, you called, I can't hear a thing. I have got no service in the club, you say, say. What, what did you say? Oh, you're breaking up on me. Sorry, I cannot hear you, I'm kinda busy.
Thank you.
Hello, we are returning to the booth with a newfound reverence because we almost thought it was a 10-year anniversary of Lady Gaga and Beyonce's telephone, but it's really like the 9-year, but we spent the entire break talking about that video and how iconic it is.
Yeah, it really like awakened like something in me that was like, I need glasses that have like smoking cigarettes. To have like a beautiful queer moment.
Oh my god, amazing.
I need to wear my hair in Coke can curlers because I'm a DIY queen. So if you haven't seen this video, it's about 10 minutes long. Really just treat yourself to it as a February treat.
Telephone by Lady Gaga and Beyonce music video walked so that Orange is the New Black could run.
Wow.
That's hard to say.
True.
That's, someone had to say it. Amazing. So now's the time that we usually just do what you're reading. So Katie, what you reading?
I'm starting The Pisces by Melissa Broder, which is about someone who is writing their dissertation and just kind of stuck and lost, and they like fall in love with like a merman. And it's from Melissa Broder, who had that beautiful collection, personal essays, So Sad Today, based on her Twitter account, So Sad Today. So it's just like really up my alley. I also spent like 24 hours collaging during the polar vortex. Gia knows, she saw my like crazy woman bed full of clippings. But it was because my friend gave me 4 Old New Yorkers, and I felt bad about cutting up the fiction if I hadn't read it. So I also read those.
Mm.
And they were good.
Wow. That leads in perfectly to my what you're reading, because I just got a New Yorker subscription from my boyfriend for Christmas. It's like a print subscription, and I'm really excited because I've never had one.
We have yet to see the tote.
Yeah, they didn't send me a tote, which I was like really upset about. Like, I was fully expecting a New Yorker tote, and they were just like, nope, just magazines. So I might have to just buy it.
Yeah.
I hate,
I say like, I just like email myself. Them. Yeah. Just send a strongly worded email. So you can get people to send you things if you just sound like you're mean.
Oh, yeah. Sephora Beauty Points. You could literally just be like, you forgot one sample in my box, and they'll send you 100 points.
Being mad on the internet gives you so much power.
Well, I'm going to go be mad on the internet to get the tote. But I've been reading New Yorker, which is like cool. It makes me feel cool. And like, I love reading like the reviews on like the ballet that's happening and stuff, you know.
Culture, true.
And like, oh wow, I know about ballet.
So cosmopolitan.
The Met, I know her.
I know Jacob, the friend who gave me all those New Yorkers to cut up. He was like, yeah, I got the magazine, and then it was all like talking about things going on in New York. So confused. I don't think he knew what he was getting into. Well, Marina, what you reading?
What am I reading? Honestly, within the past week, I have read so little actual like substance, really, because I feel like I read books for class and did some reading. So I've been reading like my Spanish textbook and a lot of tweets.
A lot of tweets.
Tweets are my favorite thing to read.
If I can think of, if I can like remember a funny one that I've read within the past week, I will absolutely say it.
We can include it in the blog post.
Yeah, yeah. I'll include some. I'll embed some tweets.
Lauren, what about you?
Okay, so I just started this book. It's called What a Time to Be Alone. It's by Chidera Egeru. I'm probably mispronouncing that. But she is a British radio host, and she started this online Instagram following for this thing called Saggy Boobs Matter. And it's like this super awesome like intersectional feminist movement on the internet. And so she just wrote this book called What a Time to Be Alone, and it's about how to like accept that like you can be alone at parts in your life, and how to kind of like work towards acceptance of being alone, and how you like shouldn't fear those times. And so I just started that, and then I've just been reading a lot of fan fiction, obviously, because that's my whole life.
Yeah, I love that. Any specific fan fiction?
I was gonna say, do you mind us asking what fanfic you're reading?
So currently,
Currently,
I'm in the Star Wars fan fiction universe, and I'm reading a lot of Reylo, which is Rey and Kylo Ren shipping, which is terrible, and I admit that it's a trash ship, but here I am. And so, yeah, I've been reading a lot of that. There's this one, it's called Landscape with a Blur of Conquerors. It's like 60 chapters and like 500,000 words, and it's amazing.
Me and Katie were talking about fan fiction this morning, and like, I just gotta say, I remember like reading fan fiction in like middle school and high school and stuff and being like, the dedication.
Just, I was gonna say,
just pages and pages. And like, I just remember like reading things and being like, Mom, I don't even care, I like this character.
Yeah. And like,
I would read this outside of like this weird internet home.
I do think that fan fiction creators are like the backbone of like creative writers. Exactly, because they are going on Wattpad, you know, every week with pages, meeting their deadlines like no other, and they're like self-made deadlines.
Yeah. And when they don't, people go bananas.
True,
like,
they do.
Where is the chapter?
Right, and like, fan fiction is such a collaborative process.
Yay!
Because you have like a beta reader, which is like a person who like gives you feedback and also checks your grammar and stuff, and then you have your readers, which give you feedback, and then you do all the writing, and then you get feedback from like your followers on Twitter. So it's great, and it's very collaborative.
Fan fiction is actually super important in terms of like the timeline of the internet and I'm just gonna like go on my little tangent here.
Please.
And of like the rise in user generated content on the internet. Because we're in like a phase of the internet now where most of the content on the internet is things generated by like, you know, your regular, degular, like fan fiction Nancy, and not just like people, like corporations or like companies putting up websites. And fan fiction was like, I mean, has been around for so long and is one of the first things that people even used the internet for, was like Star Trek fanfics on like old analog forums, like way, way, way back when. So fan fiction, historic.
And it's also like a super like really great like intersectional like feminist movement, because fan fiction is mostly written by women and
that
like persons of color, and it gives like women a lot of power over like things like, you know, like their own sexualities and like all sorts of different kinds of stuff. So it's really interesting to see like how the rise of fan fiction goes along with like the women's movements and like how there's like fluxes in fan fiction as like women's movements are occurring.
I do think like women's empowerment does dovetail nicely with fan fiction, because it's like the idea that like if the content I want isn't out there, I'm going to create it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm going to take matters into my own hands, which is something I hadn't thought about. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Proactive.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Wow.
Well, I think this might be Skrull signing off from the collaborative drafting episode.
Yeah.
But thank you so much, Lauren. We learned so much.
Oh my gosh. Thank you
and
for
I
having me.
Such a new appreciation for writing groups.
Yes.
Do you want to give writing groups one more plug? Where should they go? When should they go?
Yeah, definitely. So our Writers Guild group meets every Thursday from 6 to 7:30 in SAC 212, which is our Lincoln Park Writing Center office.
Mm-hmm.
And then our College of Ed group and our SNL group meet every other Saturday. And they're from the College of Ed group is from 10:30 to noon. And the SNL group meets in the Loop, and they are from 12:30 to 2.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on and talking.
Always.
We really enjoyed. Anyone have any signing off comments? Be warm.
No, just stay warm out there.
Yeah.
Stay safe.
Yeah. Stay safe in the polar vortex. I think we're done, actually.
Yeah. Well, it's going to rain tomorrow, so.
I heard it's going to be like 40.
Yeah.
Bring
That's
out your
honestly
shorts.
Lovely. That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, everybody enjoy this like warm weekend that we have coming up.
Yeah. So we'll just see you all next week. Same time, same place. This is Skrull Nation. Thank you for joining us on Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. And we'll see you next time. Bye.